All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks are doing local podcasts. Good morning. January the 6th, 2026. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. I hope it's great wherever you are at. It is Tuesday. Back to work for me. And I think we're finally ending the holiday season. The kids went back to school yesterday. I do love it when the kids get out of school and off from school. I remember when I was a kid, and it was probably nothing better than to find out that you were off from school, especially for 2 weeks. It was like so glorious. Every once in a while, those unexpected days would come, you know, a snow day or bad weather, and you're just like, God answered my prayers, right? Thank God, no school. And we had a great 2 weeks. Holiday seasons were great, a little stressful. Nothing that I didn't create in my own head, but went without a hitch. I think everybody was happy. We had a good time. But it was really time for these kids to get back to school and get back into a routine. And yeah, I love it. And I will be getting back into my routine, back to work today. Busy day. I am not really busy this week, but for today I am busy. I'm busy till 6:30, so that'll be a good day. And it's hit or miss, which is typical. Most people are sort of, you know, watching their money. I know I'm definitely watching my money. I'm staring at it. What are you doing, right? but yeah. So back to the schedule. I don't know who loves football. I love, you know, I definitely like football. I've always been a Cowboys fan. Don't hate me. You know, I grew up in New Mexico. So, you know, I'm on the East Coast now. And typically, you know, around this area, most people are either an Eagles fan, right? Or a Ravens fan or a Steelers fan. Not as many Steelers fans around here. Definitely a lot of Eagles and definitely a lot of Ravens. And we had that big game this weekend with the Ravens and the Steelers. And man, my Facebook is all full of, you know, if you don't know, you know, the Steelers beat the Ravens because the Ravens missed the kick, the last kick of the game. And, you know, I feel bad. I know my buddy Timmy C is probably annoyed. Sorry, brother. But, you know, that's football, right? That's the game. And, but it was, I just been watching everybody, you know, it's like, it's been really cool, man. I love seeing the little clips, you know, from everyone's living room of different people, how they watch the kick or the missed kick, I should say, and the celebrations. It's just really been a lot of fun to watch that stuff.
Three, two, turn away. Say goodbye. Three,
yellow and black attack. That's some striper that is appropriate for this. 2 days after the Steelers beating the Ravens. And what an epic, it was an epic game, man. I love it. Onward and upward. I guess the Steelers will be playing the Texans. I think the Ravens are out. We'll see you next year. I remember last year they had a, I think it was not Canseco. I forget the guy's name. 89. He dropped the ball. You know, tough year last year for the Ravens. Tough year this year for the Ravens. But, hey, they'll be back. Lamar, the great team. Very good team. Sorry, Timmy. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I thought I would come up and chat and see what's going on. It is Tuesday. Went to, yesterday was Monday. And one of the things about having the kids at home, it's really thrown off my schedule, which is fine. You know, I love enjoying family and hanging out and stuff. But I need to get back to my regularly scheduled program. And, you know, one of the things early on in recovery for me was a routine. And, you know, early, you know, prior to getting sober, I had no routine. My routine was do what I can while I'm not drunk, it seemed. Because there would definitely be times that I would be drunk and there would be no routine in that, right? You know, as long as I had a job, right, and I could show up, that short little routine of mine sort of kept me drinking because I was like, you know, look at me. I'm fine. I'm, you know, I'm working. And so I must not be an alcoholic or I must not be that bad of an alcoholic, one of the two. And even in my addiction, I had to have a routine, right? But one of the things I think that makes recovery successful or can be successful is if we can find a routine. Hopefully that includes a lot of meetings and all this stuff. But back around here. I was getting back into my routine. I love going to the meeting on Monday. I went and saw my father on Sunday, and I said, I'm not going to make it up tomorrow day because I got to make it to the meeting. And the big thing is my buddy M2 was coming back from, he went on vacation. He flew in an airplane somewhere, and he was gone for a couple weeks visiting his brother, and he had a really great time, but he came back, I guess he landed Sunday, and he was going to go to a meeting last night, and I really wanted to see him and catch up with him, but I wanted to also go to the noon meeting, so I told my wife, I have a problem, man. I really would like to go to both of these meetings, and she's like, go to both meetings. If you want to go to both meetings, you go to both meetings, and I'm like, okay, I will do that for sure, and I did, and, you know, a couple cool things. The first thing was, is I went to the noon meeting, and my buddy, who I have had, I don't know, he's a great man. I've known him for probably 30 years, but he's can be a little emo, I think, a little mopey, but still a great man, right? I saw him a lot yesterday. I went to the meeting. He was actually running. He was sitting up front and running the meeting, which was awesome. And, you know, don't get me wrong. You know, don't send the poor man an email. He's a great guy. But like all of us in recovery, it becomes a little bit of a burden. Or it doesn't. I don't know. To each his own. I've been burdened by my recovery and, you know, all the stuff. I don't know why that is. But anyway, he's a great guy. But he was running the meeting, which I thought was really cool. And he shared that he had the luxury of running the Tuesday night meeting at the hospital. Back when I came into this program, we still have the hospital. The hospital's here. But back in those days, the hospital offered us rooms, right, to have meetings in. They had the Sunshine Cafe where we initially, my first meeting was at the Sunshine Cafe. And then they offered us a conference room, which was great. It was a beautiful room, had a huge table. Everybody could sit around, or you could sit around the outside there. And then eventually they moved us into a, almost like a closet. I don't know. It was, you know, this subtle, please get out of the hospital, you know, kind of move. I don't know if that was the case, but we eventually left the hospital. But for a long time, early in my recovery, we had, I think there was at least 4 to 5 meetings at the hospital every week. They were always guaranteed. It was nice. A lot of commitments in those meetings. You could, you know, I remember going to get the cart, having to meet the security guy. Can I get the key? Get in the cart so I could start the meeting, start the coffee, all of these things, many commitments. in those meetings definitely helped me to get where I'm at today. And like my buddy was sharing yesterday, he had the luxury of running the Tuesday meeting, which in turn let him be the guy that went upstairs on Tuesday nights to ask if anybody in the fourth floor inpatient, outpatient program that they offered back in those days would like to come down to, I don't know if it's their first meeting, but to an AA meeting. And that's how I came into the program, right? I was, you know, in a fight, got some stitches, ended up in the ER at that hospital. And the nurse asked me if she thought I had a problem. And I said, you know, on the outside, I do. I feel like I have a problem. Would you like some help? I would. And they admitted me. You know, I've shared before, I think it was really about hiding from facing my coworkers to, you know, see my stitches once more, you know, the embarrassment of that. Whatever it was, there I was, and there they were, because that Tuesday night, those guys came upstairs and asked me if I wanted to go to a meeting, and I was like, I do. And I've always remembered that. I'll never forget that if it wasn't for those two guys, I don't know if I'd be here today, but, you know, the problem was I don't remember who the two guys were. And he shared yesterday that he was one of the guys that would go up there. And I, so of course, after his lead, I shared and I said, man, thank you. You know, I was one of the guys up there and I was, you got me, you went and picked me up. You went and asked me and I said, yes. And you took me to my first meeting. So thank you. And he was very humbled by it. He said he does remember that he did that. I don't remember. I remembered the guys. I just don't remember the faces of the names, right? It was very foggy back in those days, but he said he remembered. And I said, well, I just want to say thank you, man. I really appreciate it. And I've known him for 30 years, right? He was clearly one of the first people I knew, if not the absolute first person that I knew in this program. And so that was very, you know, very cool. And he was humbled by it. You don't take someone to their first meeting in 1997, right? And expect to see them 29 years later still doing this. I don't want to pat myself on the back, but I do think I'm a unique case. Most people, and including myself, right? Even since I came in that day, that wasn't the last day I had a drink, right? I went back out. I still wasn't ready, but I was ready. Maybe spiritually I wasn't ready. Physically I was ready. And it took a couple humps and bumps, but I finally, you know, at least for today, I think I've found my way again and come full circle, and I'm going to meetings with him and he's sitting up front. And I just thought that was really freaking cool. And it was a great meeting. I'm trying to think what the fuck we even talked about in the real alcoholic, right? You know, I don't know. I will say one of the things that's happened for me, at least in this journey, is all the different things that have been revealed. What I thought I was, what I maybe am, what I maybe am not, right? What my real problem is and what I thought my real problem was. You know, this real battle with self. Didn't understand that. I'd been called selfish before, but I really didn't understand this, like, spiritual malady, right? Just the fact of that, a spiritual malady. I thought that I just drank a lot. You know, there is something that is spiritually wrong with me when it comes to drinking alcohol. But, of course, we go to the meeting last night, and you know, actually, to go back to that, you know, I am a real alcoholic. There is something that happens to me. I have that craving. And then when I put that alcohol in my mouth, I literally cannot stop. There is something, I call it letting in the devil. I think this is a spiritual battle. Sometimes that's a little much for people. Think what you want. But for me, it's a spiritual battle. And when I put the liquor in my mouth, it opens the gates of hell. And in comes the devil, and he's a terrible tenant, and he will not leave. Only one way out, an act of providence, unfortunately. And clearly the act of providence what led me to that hospital that night and to meet that guy. But I am the real alcoholic. But I'm also, you know, a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility, right? I'm self-centered, and I don't have God in my life. Clear as day. I didn't really think that was very important when I became, when I came on this journey of recovery. I didn't realize how important that actually was. That the true nature of my problem is I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. You know, I solved the first one, right? Through stitches and hospital and going to my first meeting and being surrounded by a group of people, I solved one day at a time the first problem, which is all of that, as long I can avoid all of that as long as I don't put the drink into my mouth. Right? That's easy. But it's the other part, right? The self-centered part, the asshole part, the, you know, the spiritual battle part that I wasn't prepared for. And that's been a freaking crazy journey, you know, and learning about that and you know, working on it and then, you know, slipping. You know, if I was picking up coins on self-centeredness, I'd probably pick up a coin today, you know. There's all these moments, but I do think I've gotten a lot better. Right? I went to the meeting last night, right? I wanted to go to two meetings, ended up going to the meeting last night. And I was so grateful for that because it was 12 and 12 and we were on the sixth step. And let me read it just so that we have an official reading. I know what it's about, but yeah. We are entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Didn't know anything about that. I think that's probably been one of the bigger things for me, you know, character defects. And I shared yesterday, you know, I'd be like one of those guys. You know how I am? Like we all are, right? I talk to people all the time about this. You know how I am. You know how my head is. You know how I get. Those are all, those statements are all fine, but the reality is there's no answer. There's no idea identifying what we are, right? You know how I am. Until we start taking a look at our character defects, until I look at my character defects, right? And then I start realizing exactly how I am, and it's nice to give them a name because I can address them, right? This sort of umbrella of bad behavior is hard to really fix up anything as if it's always just, you know how I get. Is it jealousy? Is it procrastination? Is it arrogance? Is it inconvenience? Is it, you know, whatever they all are. You know, I've said before, and, you know, disagree, agree, but I believe that my drinking is a character defect. You know, I don't have a list of character defects and then I drink too. No, it falls under a character defect, just like, and really what it falls under is gluttony, right? We see, what was that movie, Seven Deadly Sins with Brad Pitt? Man, what a great, I think it was with Brad Pitt, yeah. What a great movie, but it was all of the deadly sins. And gluttony was the one where the guy was eating himself to death, right? Just eating and eating and eating. And we see it now, man. I see these people. There was definitely a period of time where there were people on Instagram that just ate fucking food. They were big and fat and they ate food and it was disgusting. And a lot of those people died. While we watched, we were entertained by their gluttonous. And to me, that is drinking. I will drink myself to death. I can't stop. Right? There's other, you know, whatever it is, but I feel, you know, for that one, it is a deadly sin, and it falls under the rest of the character defects. And so the meeting last night was about the character defects, and I, you know, when I came into this program, I just drank too much, and through the steps and learning about my character defects and my shortcomings, you know, I can address them. You know, one of the things about my character defects early on is they were unmanageable, right? That's always the word, unmanageable, right? My drinking was unmanageable. There's other things. There's probably other character defects that were manageable. They didn't affect other people. I said last night, if I lived on this planet by myself, would my character defects be a problem? And probably not, unless it was like I have a desire to hit myself in the head with a rock, right? I'm the only one getting hurt. But most of my character defects today affect other people. You know, and that's why we end up having to address them is because of the other people. They become unmanageable to other people, right? It's my actions, right? Our lives are actions. You know, admit we're powerless over alcohol, that our actions have become unmanageable, right? It's not our lives, it's our actions. It's our character, and it's our defects in it. And, you know, these were all, you know, a big deal. And so it was great to be at that meeting last night and to, you know, to always learn about our character defects. I've really been focusing on my character defects. And one of the things I shared last night, I've sort of been sharing it all this last couple of weeks, is, you know, at some point, you know, obviously coming in, my family had had enough. Everybody had had enough of my character defects. My neighbors, my employer, you know, everybody had enough of my actions, right? They were sick of them. I was pretty content, right? And then as we come into the program and we start to work on them, right, I wanted to clean up some character defects just because, you know, I'm in it. Right? This is what we're doing. We're working on ourselves, and I want to be, you know, I don't know. I would say drinking was clearly a huge character defect, and it was probably the biggest one. And a lot of character defects came from that, you know, defect, right? The drinking and driving and the big mouth and all this shit. They were definitely, you know, associated with that one. That ending that one stopped a lot of that stuff. But there were some other things. I wouldn't say that I had a ton of character defects, but I definitely had my toe in a bunch. I wasn't a big liar, but I would lie. I would steal. You know, I wasn't a big stealer, but, you know, I wasn't above it, right? And so there was a lot of stuff to fine tune when I came into the program and being better. I definitely wasn't stealing. But would I steal peace of mind? Absolutely, right? So I wasn't clean from that one, but. Like, I didn't have any real glaring character defects other than the big drinking. Maybe that's what made it so difficult, because I could survive, right? They weren't that unmanageable. Most of my character defects came from the drinking, you know, the anger, the sadness, the bad behavior. Usually all fell under while being under the influence. And, you know, I would think... Yeah. But the cool thing is you get a sponsor, right? And they sort of help you and they sort of guide you. And but I will say early on, you know, my character defects were unmanageable for everybody else. Today, you know, as I reflect back, you know, at some point, and I shared this last night, you know, we have to become sick of our own bullshit. And my character defects start to have to become unmanageable to me. And when that starts to happen, we can really start to clean things up. You know, because like I used to say, you know, I used to, like how I would drive, how loud I listened to the music, did I have my seatbelt on, right? Those were all 50-50. I might do them, I may not do them. But when I'd pull up to my sponsor's house, right, I'd do it, right? I'd buckle up, turn it down, 10 and 2, you know, hop up in the seat, you know, because I cared about what he thought of my behavior and my character defects. But today, you know, he's gone. You know, most of the people are gone today. It's all that's left is me, right? And I have to start, you know, getting at 10 and 2, sliding up in the chair and turning that music down because I give a fuck. I care. And that is the big transition, I think, for most of us, especially for me, was the ability to care again. Because, you know, I can have character defects, but they're only allowed to happen if I don't give a shit what other people think. And that is probably the biggest thing that's happened, other than the stop drinking every day, is to care again. And not just what other people think, but what I think. Start to care what I think again. Start to have, you know, love myself and love my behavior and be, you know, a good example to people, because I really just want that, not because I want them to think that I want that. And, you know, that's pretty cool. All right. I'm going to, get some messages. Let's see. Good morning. All right. Let's read the daily reflection. I'm going to go to work today. You know, a buddy that I've gotten into some disagreements with in the past was at the meeting last night. And he, you know, even like, you know, it's one of the cool things is like, to, if you have a bunch of time, even to see like guys with a lot of time start to go, you know, I did this and I couldn't believe I was doing it and it was ridiculous and I need to be better, right? We start to become sick of our own bullshit, even with like 30 years, right? 30 years and it's like, I need to be better. I love that. I think we're always, I know I'm always capable of being a little better. All right. The victory of surrender. Sounds appropriate. We perceive that only through utter defeat are we able to take our first steps towards liberation and strength. Our admission of personal powerlessness finally turned out to be firm bedrock upon which happy and purposeful lives may be built. Step 12 and 12 Traditions, page 21. When alcohol influenced every facet of my life, when bottles became the symbol of all my self-indulgence and permissiveness, when I came to realize that by myself I could do nothing to overcome the power of alcohol, I realized I had no recourse except surrender. In surrender, I found victory. Victory over selfish, self-indulgent victory, over my stubborn resistance to life as it was given to me. When I stopped fighting anybody in it or anything, I started on the path of sobriety, serenity, and peace. That's right. That is right, right? That is the whole, you know, when I started making changes to my behavior because of my sponsor, you know, early on, I think I would try to adjust my behavior due to the influence of my parents, right, or teachers. But, you know, those, I figured out how to fuck that all up. And then eventually coming into the program, you know, I wanted to be better for my first, you know, Mike R. And you know, those guys, and I wanted to appear better. But, you know, over time, right, I had to, it's like little surrendering. Finally, I have to surrender to myself so that I will start to, you know, not disappoint myself. I was always worried about disappointing other people. And today, I think what I'm really worried about is disappointing myself. So I just want to be better for me. I'm sick of my own bullshit. And that's really, really great, right? Let's try not to do as much bullshit. But anyway, hey, I appreciate you letting me share. I will talk to you later. Bye.